Blog Talk Radio.
Opportunity for us to briefly put our heads together and lean in on some of the topics related to and themes related to the fraternal order of Freemasons, ancient and accepted. It's the 322nd day of the year. That leaves us 43 days. Oh, let's see. 37 days left between now and Christmas, a celebration for many of us. And those of you who aren't so inclined to the spiritual nature of Christmas can certainly appreciate the enjoying the celebration, the reaffirmation of life and aspiration, the rising above the triviality and the turmoil of our daily strife temporarily. It's not a delusion, it's a celebration well within our capacity. So sit back and enjoy. We've been joined by another your listeners from another country. So now thank you. I think I can do that right from the onset from our listeners, of course, here in Canada, where I am. But I'll go through the list very briefly. The United Kingdom and Uganda and United States and Brazil and South Korea and France. Thank you. And India. I know, yes, the United States. China. Thank you for this communion. And Belgium, very much appreciated. And Cameroon, the Commonwealth nations out there, and the Netherlands. So it's a pleasure to have you joining us for the first time I've seen you show up on the list. Yeah. And Austria, of course. I think, did I mention Russia? I hope so. As we sit down, we'll tuck in and get ready for, I think we have a very interesting commentary today. A brotherhood always at the event horizon. Yeah, I know it's a nod to our scientists looking into the questions of our past. So, what can I say? It was inspiring that day. But sit back right now and we'll start this off. We'll get into some symbolism again. And I think you're going to enjoy the music that we've pulled together. Always the music that should never have existed for the order that shouldn't exist. To think that that the idea of masonry would have such permanence is a testament to its appeal, and we make and reinvent that idea in our minds and in our hearts so many times. But let it be known, I think, very clearly that the order has resonance, it has bearing, it has relevance as much today as ever, because we may be witnessing, the passage of time in terms of some amenities, some progress we've made solving some problems, you know, if you look at a problem for long enough, you'll come up with some solutions, and then you'll improve on those solutions. And we always have. I no longer use a crank phone my grandmother had in her hallway. I now carry a small computer with me, and that answers all my messages if I need. Time goes by, but one thing I'm clear about is that you and I have existed from early times. The fellows that put the original ideas into action were the same as us. They had no more grasp of the future than you and I do, with perhaps that notion that it's still today, the new always appeals to the audacious, that innovation, that breaking point, that a different way of communicating an idea. That's as alive today as it was 300, 400, 500, 600, how long ago, years ago. It's still alive. And we have still barriers to that. We have uninspired teachers teaching uninspired children. And then we have those coincidences where things just seem to align, and the mentor sees somebody with talent and works to assist that person, not to make them. We can't make somebody learn. We wait, if we're wise, we wait for those windows of opportunity where that mind is receptive, and then we answer the questions. We instruct. Sit back and enjoy the show. We'll start off with it's good jazz. This is from a woman by the name of Annie Selleck. Some of you may know her work, and this is an old standard you'll all appreciate. Thank you. Celebration in a way of a modest brother. It's not something we beat our chests over. It's certainly an understanding. When we think about the order, whatever we're going through, it's always filtered through the turmoil of our and distractions of our daily lives. And they're very, very powerful because those are often things that require our immediate attention. Rest assured, this notion of multitasking is just a notion. We're not very good at that. That's an awfully interesting way of stressing ourselves. We are, on the other hand, if we pay attention to some of our Chinese lore and instruction, quite capable of focusing on one idea at a time and doing that very well. It means appreciating understanding when we've given our best effort. And I think I mean it like this. If you've ever seen a musician, some musicians use an instrument as a means of expressing an energy. Again, always the idea. It's the idea of the music. For some musicians, the instrument seems detached from them. Do you know what I mean? Well, think about the musician that caresses the instrument, that can sit down at a keyboard and feel the action of the keys and compare that to his or her own keyboard. And perhaps even be able to determine the similarity between some of the great piano factories. You know, the similarity between their pianos and some derivatives, and or somebody that is a part of, like Joe Pass when he's playing guitar. It's something that seems to be part of him, an extension. Or when you see André Rieu pick up his violin, it's just an extension of him and the music that it seems also, if you appreciate it, his repertoire. and his productions. It's a joy. It's a celebration that flows. So when we're thinking about our own abilities, we can just be tromping through the woods, making all kinds of racket here, tromping down the path of life. Or we can be walking through mindful of doing the least amount of, leaving the most shallow footprint that we can, mindful of the sounds around us, not to distract ourselves from our task, but to be aware of our surroundings. We can approach our tasks in Freemasonry in very much the same way. We can often start with a narrow focus. It's like the narrowness of sitting down, walking into a room the first time and seeing a piano. For me, that was in my grandparents' den. And actually going over and sitting down and plunking away at the keys. And just making the music that any boy makes when you're left alone for hours with that. It's wonderful. That go from that narrowness to being able to, you know, enjoy Debussy or Mozart, you know, the style of piano, or Puccini, you know, his work for piano. There's differences and distinctions. For some, it doesn't matter. A Scotch is a Scotch is a Scotch. For others, it's a, there's no such a thing. A glass of wine is just a means of intoxication. Oh, sorry. Or it's a, you know, something that you pair with a meal so that it just enhances the experience, the conversation, the aroma, the flavors. Masonry, if you look for it, has very much the same kind of depth to it, dimension to it, if you look for it. So I'm going to share with you a commentary today. So I like the term of this because I was reading some things. I was reading a little bit of information about our scientists at the time. So no doubt many have accepted the evidence that the community of mankind is a concept lacking application. Optimists tell us there is good in everyone. Druids and indigenous people refer to an awareness of our connection among the spirits that inhabit all living things, rivers and streams, trees and plains, all creatures and the stars. Is reality about the choices we make or a product of uncontrollable forces? Set those notions aside for a moment and consider how confusing it is to validate the idea of common purpose, of peace and harmony, of agape. Capitalism plays off it, but submits us to mockery each day in the media, fascination with destruction and suffering. What would happen to a healthy person if we subjected them to constant messages of suffering and aggression, censored acts that inspired and validated the brotherhood notion? The answer to that would be you and me. Masonry may well be the looming rabbit hole that we jumped into, where truth and reality are more than imaginary. Why, sometimes I've thought six impossible things before breakfast. Quote, as he glided down a glassy river with a friend and the three young daughters of his much respected dean at Christ Church, the little girls begged for a story. Later, one asked him to write it down, and the rest is, as they say, history. Are you so advanced we suppress imagination as we grow older? Is it so impossible to consider a brotherhood of good people, strangers alike from far and distant places, who look and sound different from each other, who enjoy the most amazing tastes in food, could be hidden from view by their forced invisibility. Not so much impossible for the likes of discerning masons as we have here. We may be invisible to the world, but we exist. We may be tedious at times and seem pompously absorbed in a fantastic world of ritual, belief, philosophy, and fraternity. Our rhythm is not careful, but as we stumble and lurch, learning to walk, we always move forward. We always move forward.
I love the way you're breaking my heart. It's terribly, terribly, terribly thrilling. I love the way you're breaking my heart. Although you're gonna ruin it, heaven while you're doing it. I love the way I feel when you kiss. You're terribly, terribly, terribly irresistible. Side of me and light of me. You really know. It's gonna hurt the most, but it feels so good. Darling, just keep playing your part. Cause I love the way you're breaking my heart. Thank you so much.
That'll do. Nice way to, nice program. Huh? Sit back and listen to some good jazz, some interesting material. We're going to talk about the things that help us in our daily lives again, with adding some answers to questions that you and I have periodically about the trinkets and baubles and the little scratchings that are on our wall and on our floors, all those strange things that Masons adore, and the mystery behind them. If we were pressed, it's interesting to think, if we were pressed to reveal the secrets, best that we don't know them, then we can't really reveal things, but we do. Each one of us has opinion, and rightfully so. If we're asked pointed questions, many of us will feel put on the spot, and that's fine. But amongst the brotherhood, we, I think, can and should acknowledge that we have some remarkable scholars. People that tend to help us push aside a supposition with historical fact. And when the information is so old and a bit obscure, they will help us to arrive at the most plausible conclusions. Now, if I felt that masonry was a matter of interpreting the world in terms of black and white, the metaphors, I don't think the metaphors that we use would have a place. Do you? Our metaphors don't give us a definitive answer. This isn't an authoritarian mindset. This is where we we develop conscience. We assume you are a man or you're a person of conscience and capable of holding opposing ideas in mind at the same time without feeling weakened or throwing your arms in the air running in circles, so that we can examine our attitudes as if the world is a great big mirror. Now, this is abstract reasoning, isn't it? And it's something that requires a bit of effort and and that which comes a little easier with awareness and understanding, and that comes from dialogue. And this is where I think the benefit today, we've shifted, I think, from the moments of rhetoric in the earlier catechisms to one of a dialectic, where whether that's the intention of the work or not, we allow ourselves to consider what we're learning through masonry, through the ambiguities, deliberate and otherwise, in terms of options. We can examine and hear the various options and consider from them which is the most ethical for us. And time again, it's not that we have absolute clear and sharp edges on this kind of reasoning, but it is reasoning. You reason through, and do we come to these logical conclusions? Well, for masonry, there's a great deal of information out there that allows us to reason through the various propositions where we examine, perhaps for the first time, some of the deeper and penetrating questions, as if one day, it's as if one day we are going to be, it will be our last day on this earth, and we will ask ourselves as if, did we live a life of meaning? Kind of an important question. Not now, of course not. We have no need to be thinking deep thoughts on a day like today. This is ridiculous. Just go for a walk. Well, that's exactly where we don't sit down and darken the room and become gloomy. This is not necessarily a proposition that suggests that we have to be gloomy and solemn in order to discover answers. Oh, nor does it say we have to be sober. Nor does it say we can do it in a state of intoxication. That's a limit. No. This is where we're allowed examination, which means we're allowed and we tolerate errors in judgment while we're perfecting our craft. Freemasonry is amazing. I don't know if people necessarily separate out the craft work from the design. The design is beautiful. I think we can agree. But the craft work, well, that varies. There's so many shops at work. There's so many craftsmen coming and going, just as there always have been, moving now. And now we can see over the horizon, and we can talk over the horizon, and we have this sense of global community that's only been with us, what would you say, except in the mind, but visually since the 60s, seeing that blue pearl floating in the darkness of space. We have opportunity to evaluate, but as we do that, it's important. It's very important, I think, that we do so in our judgments with a gentle approach, a patient approach, the approach of a mentor to the apprentice. At times we admonish, but we're taught to do that gently and thoughtfully. And you think that, oh, you see this, or somebody's very ham-fisted about it and doesn't appreciate, because they're only seeing things through their own eyes. They can't see things through the eyes of the student, the eyes of the apprentice, the one striving to try. With every bit of pride as you and I exhibit, oh, well, we can't fault, we shouldn't ever, I think, fault an apprentice for having that sense of pride, whatever their skill set. For us, I think sometimes pride is a barrier. We can't seem to get past some larger questions because we have a sense of pride and duty and obligation. So examining something objectively is hard. And yet, when we're instructing, if we've in our voice, if we've got a pointed finger, this is how it is. Oh dear. Or if we're ever, you know, telling people what they should do rather than putting it as a question, you learn the hard way. Some people are hypersensitive about it, so you back off and leave them to their own device. One thing I've learned as a therapist through the years during my work career was that I live in a world of experts. The whole world around me is an expert. Expert on themselves, there's absolutely nothing about them that could possibly be unknown to them. Absolutely. They have all the answers and they're always correct. Except when things aren't going well. And it's not then that people are receptive. No. It's only when their feet are in the coals. When there's some element of the person that's walked through a desert and they're parched, they're not going to be too choosy about what liquid you hand them, whether it's has too much sugar, whether it's a Coke or whether it's a glass of water, they're going to be too fussy about it. So the need, that regulation in our mind shifts a little bit. So that's you and I right now. Think about our goal, the goal for the idea for masonry. What's that in our mind? And the idea, it's incomplete, the idea of masonry. Not Freemasonry, but the craft, the way we deploy it, the way we reveal it. So we can learn more, and then we add this layer upon layer upon layer, patiently, respectfully, with dignity. And as we do, we move closer to the completion of that idea in our own mind. As much as we may be encouraged to believe that our worldview is the supreme, the most important around us, it's not. There's also this notion of common good, that sense of community. That's very important. Not to exaggerate it, not the lowest common denominator. It's a sense of community. It's those waves. It's those waves of balance from ups and downs, positives, negatives. Always present. Always present. It's like looking at the surface of the ocean. Flat isn't flat, it's relative. Storm is storm. Yeah. Symbolism in the craft is important. Those mnemonics, those notions of thought palace, mind palace, where we store information, not always quickly retrieved. Some comes quicker to us, and we're using it a lot. There are theories that we relearn all the information in our mind about every 2 years. So you wonder, why did something fade? Well, it's really not faded. It's the access, it's the way we access ideas and information changes as we get a little older. Similarly, the ideas of masonry, some of us want the whole event to be fluid, to run smoothly, so that we're not distracted by a stumbling portrayal. Sometimes, though, stumbling is sincere and endearing. Other times, it's negligent. And we know that when a person hasn't put in the effort. Not good enough just to admonish the person. Good enough to try and understand what's that's not the problem, that's a symptom. You walk into Freemasonry, there's a lot of things that are symptoms or signs of complications upstream when you think about it. Here, let's jump into this a bit more. This is about the point within a circle. Ken Follett wrote some things about it. Pillars of the Empire, I think it was called. Good book, if you're inclined to that kind of, you know, use of history. He writes a great story. The point within a circle, though. We were talking in the past couple of weeks about tracing boards and the symbols and how they were used, and sort of change my thinking, at least, to, you know, where these things actually came from. If you sort of, when I heard somebody, you know, offer an opinion about it, I just took that at face value. I said, yeah, okay, that must be the way it is. But here we're learning from Colin Dyer's helping us drill into it, unpack it a little more. So the point within a circle, that's always quite interesting. This has to do, as he references, Jacob's Ladder. That rests on the volume of the Sacred Law. Oh my goodness, we're certainly looking at a bit of an evolution about that thinking, aren't we? Are we, which, it isn't a matter of which volume, it's all volumes. And we, if we're insincere in our studies, then and we haven't been a good student, then we're going to be clumsy about how we handle this question. People believe what they want to believe. That notion of the world, that observation that everybody's an expert, it includes that people believe what they want to believe. So if you want to believe something different, you will find it. If your mindset is to look for problems and look for menace and look for conflict, then you will always find it. If you're looking for ways to distance yourself from other people, as insincere as that is, you will be able to rationalize because you're intelligent. Good Masons are given an opportunity to think through this. The why of it isn't that understanding weakens us or being gentle or thoughtful is a weakness. It is too. in the fascist mind it is. Fascism, you know, they run around not realizing just how vulnerable they are. Their both heels are killing. So vulnerable. Oh, here. The point within the circle, the volume, which in turn was on a device, sometimes in the form of a pedestal or two upright lines with a circle touching them. And the volume. Picture it in your mind. Two lines and a circle that touches both those lines. The center of the circle was accentuated. The point within a circle is found in earlier exposures, but again, it is not until late in the 18th century that the full symbol is found. The two parallel lines represented in the times before the Union, the parallel, the grand parallels of Masonry, the saints, John the Baptist and the Evangelist. These were the patron saints or protectors of Masons, and a half yearly festivals were held on their two commemorative days, the 24th of June and the 27th of December, conveniently 6 months apart, and at which period the installation meetings were traditionally held. William Preston picks up this point in his lectures and says, interesting enough, these two parallels in modern time were applied to exemplify the two St. Johns as patrons of the order, whose festivals are celebrated near the solstices or the time when the sun in its zodiacal career touches these two parallels, Capricorn and Cancer. Before the degrees settled down in their present symbolism, this point within a circle was a symbol incorporated in all pictorial representations connected with Masonry generally, and was explained in the lecture of the first degree, along with other connected symbols. No doubt it was part of the decoration of a lodge room, and it appears on present day first tracing boards and is dealt with in the first lecture, much in the way that other matters which have altered in the ritual of the degrees have retained their place in the lectures because of the way in which they were formulated. So if we crack open our copy of John Brown's Master Key of 1802, you must have that on your shelf, don't you? There are a series of questions and answers in the first lecture leading up to the position of the point within a circle. Oh, I know, I'm interested. Our lodge being ornamented, furnished, and jeweled, to whom do we generally dedicate it? To King Solomon. Why to King Solomon? Because he was the first Grand Master who brought Masonry into due form, and under whose royal patronage many of our mysteries received their first sanction. As King Solomon was a Hebrew long before the Christian era, to whom do we now dedicate our lodge? To St. John the Baptist. Why? Why St. John the Baptist? He was the harbinger or forerunner of our Savior, who preached repentance in the wilderness and drew the first line of the gospel through Christ. Had he any equal? He had. St. John the Evangelist. Wherein was he his equal? He, coming after the former, finished by his zeal what the other began by his learning and drew a parallel line. What is the first point in Masonry? Left knee bare and bent. Wherein is that the first point? In a kneeling posture, I was first taught to adore my Creator, and on my left knee bare and bent, I was initiated into Masonry. There is a chief point. To make each other happy and to communicate that happiness to others. There is a principal point. A point within a circle. In going round, which it is said the master and brethren cannot materially err. explain that point within a circle. In all regular, well-formed Freemasons' lodges, there is a point within a circle in going round which, it is said, the master and brethren cannot materially err. The circle is bounded on the north and south by two perpendicular parallel lines. That on the north is said to represent St. John the Baptist, and that on the south, St. John the Evangelist. On the upper points of these lines and on the periphery of the circle rests the Holy Bible, supporting Jacob's ladder, which, it is said, reaches into the watery clouds of heaven. It also contains the dictates of an unerring, omnipotent and all-wise being, so that while we are as conversant therein and obedient thereto as either of the St. John's were, it will bring us to him that will neither deceive nor be deceived by us. Therefore, by keeping ourselves so circumscribed, it is impossible we can materially err. Makes us ask a question about what it is that materially err, what it is. You follow the notion of the parallel lines. The next time we go into a lodge, we can think about the north and the south a little differently. The north is St. John, represents St. John the Baptist, and the south, St. John the Evangelist. And then ask yourself, as the theology students have done for a long time, why were these characters essential to this form of scripture? And while you're busy asking yourself that question, ask yourself what character you represent when you're doing ritual. If we're just passively whipping through the lines, grateful that we can remember them at all, we're not really representing very much. So take your time, take a deep breath, sit back. Nobody's going to chastise you. No, not for learning, never. But this is where it's a little different for a lot of people these days. We're never taught to allow themselves an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to use their own time, to control their own time, to grow. And that we do as Masons. Here. Sit back and digest that. And sip your favorite beverage, whether it's an espresso like I am, or a glass of Merlot, or brandy. This is a little Chet Baker. Thank you. So the next time walk into your lodge, just think, are you looking for repetition? Are you looking for something that's keen, something that will answer a question? Are you walking into the lodge with a question in mind? If you do, you'll find the answer to that question. So, oh, I don't need to know what it is, and neither does anybody else. But the next time you go in, if you want to give yourself a treat, if you want to build, if you want to grow, take control of the question. Take control of the narrative, I guess, the inner narrative, that chit-chat that goes on inside our minds. Look for something new. Look for something that, instead of it being a distraction, is penetrating. Instead of looking at the quality, if the quality isn't there, fine. If it is there, well, great. Yeah. But that's a work in progress. After all, you're an art student. You're part of a student group. So students, some of it is astounding. You wonder, they must be gifted, except they work additionally hard at it, the key, huh? They work extremely hard. So instead of the distraction, think about the symbolism. Think of what we've just been talking about, the mnemonics. What does that information, what does that symbol express to you? Do you know? Did you know up to now? You know, what is St. John the Baptist, the St. John Evangelist? The representations of north and south, the circle within two parallel lines. So find it, you know, if you're curious. It's like walking down a busy city street. Well, there's no nature there if you're not looking for it. There's always life. It's sometimes small, sometimes obscure. Sometimes it can be drowned out by machines, the machines of our existence, the machinery of industry. But if you look for it, you will find that there's something else going on. Always, always is. Similarly, so much more inside the lodge. You know, I've been a bit fascinated about this notion for a while about whether lodges were there to offer us a sense of utopia. And imagine my surprise. I started to get into a bit of this material. And I was reading Thomas More's masterpiece on Utopia. And Sir Thomas, it was interesting. What I was struck with wasn't the product of utopia. Imagine, I thought it was like paradise. To get there, he explains what I would have to give up. What I would have, not so much what I would have to give up, but the uniformity that would be expected of me. For me, the entropy, the grayness of it all. We would all be thinking in line. We would be, for me, sheep. And I have a great deal of, it stressed me a great deal. You know, what prevents men from making other laws in the same way, We're talking about equity and perjury and how much of it should be permitted. I have a hard time with those kind of concepts. I believe that we're forbidden from taking another's life. If you suspend that belief, well, that is what it is, isn't it? So, we pull back and we don't live in paradise, we don't live in utopia, but we live in something full of challenges, always has been. We didn't just go out and throw a handful of seed in the fields and it grew, we worked it. And we didn't complain about that. You can't find water, drawing a bucket of water from a well isn't such a big deal. Unless we're able to sit back in our creature comfort and turn on a tap and think, oh, how pathetic that life must be. You're missing the point. How thirsty those people must be. And how much have we taken for granted, even as Masons? We have a pretty good. I hope we've been of some use here to you, Masonic Effects. Be thoughtful, be proud, be pleased, be indulgent, be carrying on those acts of random Masonic kindness, be charitable to yourself. Not excuse, but be charitable to yourself. And I'll look forward to being with you again in a week's time. Here, enjoy this. This is East of the Sun and West of the Moon. Enjoy.
East of the sun and west of the moon, we'll build a dream house of the dream. Close to the sun in the day, near to the moon at night, we'll lay on a lovely river, cheering our mouths. Just you and I, forever and a day. Love will not die, we'll keep it that way. Of a moment of sacrifice, a harmony, a life to a lovely tune. East of the sun, west of the moon. East of the sun and west of the moon. Thank you.
Thank you.